Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Jason and the Therefore Nots.
It's spelled different, but I love the initiative.
I like the hustle kid. Lore Boys here, the internet's number one 19th century Italian podcast, is back to teach you about how to get rich real quick. I am your sentient piece of lumber, Peter O'Donoghue, and I am joined by...
Peter, it's me, your father, who made you in my workshop, Ethan.
Yeah, hi, it's me, James, and all my strings are stuck in my computer chair. I spun around twice, and I went the other way trying to get them untangled. Now I'm twice as tangled the other way. And, well, I'm here for the whole episode, that's for sure.
Pinocchio's just his own dolphin in a dragnet, just like, oh!
Yeah. Jamie has a penis that gets longer when he tells a lie. It's a beautiful thing.
Huh? Yeah. Dude, I must be the most honest person ever.
It only grows by 1/100th of a millimeter every lie.
Ow. So yeah, as you saw by the title, today we're going to be covering some of the themes running through the latest action game that I've been in love with, Lies of P. This episode was requested by patrons Bison the Varl, who was playing it, Chaz Michael Michaels, who was playing it, and an extra vote coming in from Lowbridge. I also wanted to give a shout out to Chaz, who it feels like I ignored for 2.5 years, and now every week I'm just like, oh yeah, this guy's right on the money here as far as the requests go. Although probably we just got our shit together, or maybe he got better taste, I'm not sure. Yeah. Now I know that neither of you have played Lies of P. Jamie just got a new computer and maybe wants a pretty game to put on it. I don't know if you guys are interested in it, but I will ask, of course, are you guys familiar with the story of Pinocchio, or maybe France, more importantly, for some reason? And then maybe even alchemy. So what do you guys know about any of that?
I know a lot about all three of them because they were told to me by my two very, very, very best friends and new patrons, Zachary and Romero. So new patrons to the show, Loreboys, or patreon.com/loreboys, did tell me about alchemy and told me how to turn $3 into unlimited value of nice. Loreboys content.
Okay, perfect.
Nice. Yeah. I know not very much about France. I know how to speak French, which is, I guess, more than most people in the world know about France. Alchemy, I know a little bit about. I know Isaac Newton was one of the guys who made a lot of the modern physics stuff, huh? He was a big old alchemist.
Probably died of mercury poisoning.
Yep. Yep.
Trying to turn mercury into gold. Yeah. A lot of people did.
Yeah, a lot of people did. We will get into some of that stuff. Mercury is one of the cornerstones of early alchemy.
Right.
I read.
Wasn't he gay?
What?
Isaac Newton?
I don't know.
I thought he was because he never
took a wife. Does anybody really know?
Yeah.
You can't ask him.
Yeah. He died. Never mind.
It's like all the women. It's like all the women on the Isle of Lesbos, right?
All gay.
All yep. gay.
I mean, maybe the fact that he was covered in mercury at all times and looked sickly and dying would just repulse.
Oh, you're thinking of David Bowie.
Yeah. Well, no,
Freddie Mercury. He was covered in Freddie Mercury the whole
time. He fucked Mick Jagger, didn't he? They made a song about it.
Yeah. What was the third thing? France, alchemy, and
Pinocchio.
Puppets.
I know the Pinocchio story a bit. I watched it as a youth. I remember some moments, but I don't remember the whole story.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I ever saw the whole story. I remember he gets eaten by a whale, he makes a wish upon a star, Jiminy Cricket, Father Geppetto, and then I keep conflating it with like scenes of a bunch of elephants dancing around. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Dumbo.
That's
another
Dumbo.
Movie. Yeah. Another movie which I haven't seen. So like I never owned Pinocchio or Dumbo for that matter, but we never owned Pinocchio. So it's like if it was on, it was on at my I have a distinct memory of like going to my mom's very, very, very French cousin's place and like speaking of France, I guess, hanging out with some French kids and watching the French version or having the French version of Pinocchio be on in the background.
Yeah. It's I think super sad because Geppetto hasn't signed any paperwork to show he's his legal guardian. So when he becomes a real boy, the state takes him back and he shoves him through the orphanage system. And he really just wishes he was a puppet again. But it was a tough one.
Yeah, there's no regulation against owning a living puppet, right? And you can neglect that. You can neglect that thing all you want.
Soon as it's coming for our living puppets.
So I myself have finished the game Lies of P twice. There's apparently a third ending, which I have not tried to get yet, but the game overall comes with a big old Pete seal of approval. It's easily the best Souls-like I've played since the Surge games, and you guys know how much I fucking adore those. It's fantastic. It's on Game Pass. It's worth buying. If they ever threaten to take it off Game Pass, I'll definitely buy it just to support the devs financially. I don't know what the cut of Game Pass cash is to somebody who launches there. But yeah, the original story.
You've already announced that they are making a sequel, right? Or they're another game.
They're hiring for DLC and a sequel, yeah. So we'll get into some of the sales later on. There is going to be like some behind the scenes content because obviously the question of why the fuck is this grim game allegedly about Pinocchio is thankfully has been answered. So we'll get into that there.
Hey, if it was good enough for Guillermo del Toro, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh yeah, the Pinocchio fan base is starved for content. In 2023, we only got 3 adaptations, right? the original story, at least what ended up being the first 15 chapters of The Adventures of Pinocchio, was not for me. I'm not part of the target audience, that being 19th century rowdy Italian boys. The first 15 chapters, however...
The Venn diagram of you and 19th century rowdy Italian boys is like pretty overlapping, okay? Don't act like you're better than them. We have a lot of 19th century Italian boys that listen to this show, Peter, okay? So, please be mindful of our audience.
Fine. I'm sorry. Okay. I didn't want to make it political, but here we are.
They loved my Italian caricature at the beginning of this episode, okay? They were fans of Italian Ethan.
Yeah, these kids who, whatever, got a toothache at some point and died in the crib. But yeah, the first 15 chapters of The Adventures of Pinocchio were so popular that the author, Carlo Collodi, retconned the ending of The Adventures of Pinocchio, allowing the titular character to survive his lynching and, you know, learn some more fairy tale lessons in very strange and unclear ways.
It turns out that he doesn't die, nor does his busty girlfriend, and he goes on to kill monsters, he becomes a hired sword, if you will.
Busty girlfriend?
There's no big titty goth GF in Lies of P.
If only he had a djinn or a star to wish upon.
Starlight, Starbright, first star I see tonight. Wish I may, I wish I might. A big pair of titties in my face tonight.
Amen.
So the first image for you guys and for the patrons, obviously, is the original 19th century artwork of Pinocchio himself, if you want to take a look there.
He's looking pretty good.
Yeah, he's looking pretty goofy.
His nose is thick as his thighs.
Yeah, very Roman nose for sure.
Wow.
Spindly legs. Surprisingly curved wrist.
Look at that whale in the back. He's shocked.
They're
he's shocked.
Articulated.
No, he's saying, I'm going to eat you, Pinocchio. He's actually, that whale is swallowing a ship. That's a big big fish, man.
In the original story, it's actually a dogfish, not a whale. It's just a big fish. So points to Ethan for that one.
I feel
the only Italian guy on the podcast is Ethan.
Shut up, baby. I know it.
I feel like in a kiss, you're supposed to close your eyes. Like right before you eat the ship, you should close your eyes. Your eyes should not be that wide open when you're eating a ship. You're going to get a mast in the eye, you know?
Yeah, I think you're going to talk about Pinocchio's nose, because as a nosy man myself, I do have to kind of rotate my head a little bit for nose clearance with the girls that I like to smooch.
I think everybody's nose is right in the middle of their face. You do have to kind of...
The Venn diagram of young Italian boys with crooked noses. So before we get into the meat of the episode here, I do want to mention there will be some spoilers for Lies of P.
There's no story in the game anyway. Come on, fairly, you can listen. The cool kids are listening.
It's fairly linear. Yeah,
you guys
exactly.
Turn us off. Come on.
Yeah, no. Just skip to the ending. Just to make iTunes think you played the whole thing.
Play the game for the game. Listen to the lore boys for the story, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
And like I'd mentioned before, I do want to answer the question: why is this game about Pinocchio? Oh, developers. Oh, game director. So to paraphrase. Exactly. To paraphrase marketing genius Ethan Palmer of the Lore Boys, it makes a great headline, which is something you said to me when I started playing it a couple of weeks ago. I was like, I can't figure out why the fuck this is about Pinocchio. And you were like, it's because the Pinocchio Bloodborne game is an insane headline. And you are absolutely right.
That's it, right?
They made a game,
and then they're like, how do we make it sell? They're like, I don't know. We got to make it into a story for the internet.
I have a quote from the game's director that we're going to get up to here, which is very funny.
We also talked about it in the bonus. Like, Lords of the Fallen is another strong Souls-like game that came out kind of in the same breath, like in the same couple months.
3 weeks later, yeah.
Yeah, and is not nearly being talked about as much, even though it's a very solid game as far from all sources I've heard.
I've never heard of it until you mentioned it, but I'd heard of Liza P. I haven't seen any gameplay or anything like that, but I know the weird puppet Souls like.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Just make the bosses the seven dwarves or however many there are of those, and fuck, you're good. You know, like
exactly. Yeah. So Liza P. has very little to do with author Collodi's 1883 story or even 19th century Italy all. This was like prime in name only territory for me, which it did make putting together like an adaptation review episode like I did for Heart of Darkness a little bit more difficult. But some of the other themes within the game are equally as interesting as like, oh, this is what they changed. This is what they did. They fucking changed everything, basically. Thankfully, though, the Pulitzer Prize winning copy pasters at thegamer.com reposted a transcription of an IGN interview by Games Radar with the games director, and I'm going to fuck his name up, I'm sorry, Choi Ji-won, he's Korean, and have him quoted as saying, "We had to find a very well-known thing first. Because it's our first Souls-like game, so we wanted to have the fan base first. So we came up with a well-known story, and then we gave our own twist on it." And I would love to say that, like, the cojones on these guys for being like, oh yeah, what is a untapped fan base that we can use to market our game? Fucking Pinocchio, dog.
Naturally.
I mean, yeah, like, I don't remember when the Disney movie came out, but
1940.
It's that old? They redid it whenever we were older, right? No?
Bro, I mean, there's no party like a Pinocchio Con party, though, dude. Me and my bros go every year, you know.
Yeah. I gotta shave my nose
down when I leave because I get home. I'm gonna be telling a lot of fibs to the wife. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
So. I was gonna say that. Oh, they released the movie around when we were kids, so they're gonna hit that millennial market of like guys in their like late 20s, early 30s, or whatever who'll buy this game. But no, it came out in 1940s.
The movie came out before the United States joined the Second World War.
Wow.
They were like, well, we need to get this one in before we sort out that Hitler thing. So, like, just super quick, we're going to get the adaptation out.
Wow.
But yeah. Also, like I had mentioned earlier, last year we had, or even this year maybe, 2023 has been long, we had three Pinocchio movies come out. There was the Del Toro one. There was the one that was made in, like, a Russian chalk mine that had Pauly Shore voice Pinocchio.
Oh, no.
The father, why can't I go out on my own one? Like, everybody, you know, the Pinocchio gay voice trailer was a big meme for a while. And then there's the one that I worked on with Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
I worked on a Pinocchio movie for 8
directly
months.
With Tom Hanks.
The movie with Tom Hanks. Excuse me.
The Tom Hanks vehicle.
Something I learned recently and I love to picture is Pauly Shore hangs out with Nick Cage, like, as friends. They just go places together.
That's cool. Yeah.
I can see that pairing.
I love it. That, what do you think they talk about? Like, I want to be a fly on the wall, you know?
I hope they talk. The one story I want from Nick Cage is, I've only known parts of it, he owned a, like, Tyrannosaurus skull for a while, but he had obtained it illegally. And it was dug up in Mongolia, and the government of Mongolia, like, repoed his fucking dinosaur skull.
Damn.
And that's...
Well, wasn't awesome. His dinosaur skull.
I know. It really belongs to all of us. We're all Yo, part God. Of the Earth. But let's be real. Yeah.
Dude, dinosaurs give it to Peter. He worked with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, exactly.
He deserves a dinosaur bone.
So what's really funny about, like, we're kind of making fun of them, like, the untapped Pinocchio fan base. Within the first month, the game sold over 1 million copies, which allowed them to expand the size of their team. They're hiring for DLC and sequel plans, which they did hint at the end of the game, which I won't spoil. There's, you know, there's another public domain character who maybe is going to kill monsters in 2 to 3 years, and I'm going to play the shit out of that one. But also, Game Pass has always been cagey with their numbers. Nicolas Cagey, I suppose. So who knows how many people have actually played it. So the word of mouth, and also the fact that, like, we talked about this on the bonus today, like, I complained about Bloodborne's frame rate. If you wanted Bloodborne that was rock solid 60, if you're like me, it's Lies of P. It's like, it's so stable. Even on my rickety old PC, never drops a frame, ever. It's silky smooth from, like, cover to cover, basically.
Now, nice. One of these has been Lies of Peter. Tell you which one it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, exactly.
Two truths. Just
have a computer.
Two truths and a lies of Peter.
So the architecture in game and the fashion are all based on La Belle Époque, which is not a Italian sounding name. That's because it is French. And the country of France really kind of owned this era in time that kind of lasted between 1871 and 1914 culturally. So it's everything post-Napoleon up to the First World War, when, like, life was good, art was good, the whatever. Versailles was big and full of people with huge dresses. I did put in a couple of images for you guys and the patrons as well of, like, some of the art and architecture from La Belle Époque, as well as a compilation of the same statue that is referenced a few times.
Oh, so we have Lies of P, presumably on the left, and then on the right would be Blasphemous, right? Another Peter favorite.
Exactly. So this is Michelangelo's La Pietà, which is in the Vatican. It is the Virgin Mary holding the dead body of Christ.
Yeah, it's like a goth dummy mommy dressed in all white and then was holding her twink lover.
Precisely.
I guess. You're not wrong, but I don't think anyone else would have said it that way.
Well, that's why you guys pay me to be here.
Yeah,
what's epoch?
Outside the box.
What's epoch?
Ethan,
an
era,
epoch,
or an epoch?
What's an epoch?
Or an era?
Yeah,
it's a length of time.
La Belle Époque means the beautiful time, beautiful era,
a beautiful period.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, if you're ever in Quebec, you can go to La Belle Province, which means the beautiful province, and you can get a dirty puts in and some hot dogs.
The closest one to me is closed, and it makes me very sad because
there's one close to me you could get at it. Don't worry.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
There's always La Fleur's under the bridge. That's also
absolutely. That's where my fat dad will sneak in a second supper on his way home. Sometimes I'm sure of it. He jokes about it. He's like, "I'll get some hot dogs on the way home." Like, you must have done that at least once, Dad. You joked about it too many times.
So the version of La Pietà in Lies of P is called the Saintess of Mercy, and instead of holding the body of Christ, she is holding a golden puppet body. It's in, like, this giant showroom of, like, new fancy technologies. This, like, La Belle Époque is very much like the hot air balloon era, I suppose. Like, where you go to carnivals and, like, science men show off their science inventions and sometimes, I don't know, kind of die. You just played Bioshock Infinite, Jamie.
That's right.
The opening of that game where you go through the carnival where they're, like, showing off the handyman and the superpowers is a very kind of La Belle Époque vibes.
Okay. Basically. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. The Saintess of Mercy statue is just where you go to respec in game. Then, of course, you have the original, the statue that's in the Vatican, and it is, again, referenced in Blasphemous, the boss Ten Piedad. This, like, kind of thorny goat monster is in the lap of the Virgin Mary in Blasphemous.
Feliz Piedad.
I want to wish you a
Merry Christmas. So, names broadly are the only thing taken from the original story and also the Disney film. Geppetto, Jiminy, which in this case is written Gemini, but still pronounced Jiminy. Pulcinella and Polendina and Lampwick are all present in game, for example. In the original story, Polendina is a nickname given to Geppetto. That apparently just makes him fly into a rage. Within the first few pages, he gets into a fist fight with a carpenter. because he doesn't like being called Polandina. In the game, Polandina is a puppet butler. He's a robotic butler, basically. They're different characters, but it's a nickname otherwise. So is Pulcinella, for that matter. They're both butlers.
Adina. That's what Hornet says whenever she's attacking sometimes. Yeah. In
Adina!
Hollow Knight.
Adina! Adina! He's just speaking Italian. It's just an Italian Hornet.
Could be. Maybe we'll find out in 2023 TM soon.
Yeah, I'm gonna do my best to release the first part of my comic before Silksong. And
oh, you got time.
Yeah. I was gonna say, so my comic is never coming out.
You have an infinite amount of time technically to do it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So Jiminy Cricket in the original was called simply Il Grillo Parlante, which just means the talking cricket.
I will be talking about that right now. He is referred to only as the talking cricket. Yes,
I did share the picture from his wiki page. It's very good. He's like seated on a chair with his little cane, but he's very much just a cricket, I guess.
Yeah.
He's got his legs crossed, and that's how he makes his sounds while he's sitting on his little rocker. Exactly.
So the talking cricket, who would become known as Jiminy or Jiminy, it's spelled with a J in the Disney film, is actually like killed by Pinocchio with a hammer in prison early on. He has maybe 10 lines of dialogue total.
And this is the Disney film, right?
Yeah, exactly. We remember in the 1940s Disney film when Pinocchio is arrested and while in jail kills his celly with a hammer to show how badass and how he's not to be fucked with.
How did Pinocchio get a hammer into jail?
There's a
chicken egg. He carved a mallet out of himself.
Yeah, out of his nose. Yeah.
There is a chicken egg and a hammer in his prison cell in the children's story. The cricket is giving him advice, and he doesn't want to hear it, so he whips a hammer at him and kills him instantly. The talking cricket returns as a ghost towards the end of the story, shortly before Pinocchio bites the hand off a talking cat.
I got a better idea for Jiminy if you want to get medieval. We got, like, have you ever heard of those, like...
Cricket on the rack.
You got him on the rack, but underneath, instead of the bamboo torture, you got Pinocchio telling lies. And that nose is coming up through your back slowly. It tells you lies, sweet little lies in your ears, and it just grows right through your chest. Wah, big old honker.
That'd yeah, so, like, obviously, there's the lynching at the end of the 15th chapter, and after he retconned that out, the author, Carlo Collodi, obviously was just like, well, now he's a radical communist who has joined the Viet Cong, torturing American GIs in the jungle, where he's growing his nose through their bodies, right?
Perfect.
Yeah. I'm joining the war in Vietnam on the side of the Vietnamese, which is honestly the subject of France. This is the right choice, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, they would just live their life.
He'd be useful if his nose didn't hurt when it got, like, he could look into a dark hole in the ground in the Vietnam War and just tell lies, and his nose could go out there and set up all the trip bombs and everything. And then he'd be back to a normal nose. He could tell more lies.
You think the American government would use Pinocchio as some kind of minesweeper?
Does his nose shrink at any point in the movie?
The blue fairy appears and magically shortens it.
But like constantly or just once? Or
I don't recall. I didn't watch the movie again for homework. I listened to the book.
That's okay. Does it just keep growing throughout the film?
The puppet and the magic rhinoplasty.
Also, lying and his nose growing in the first 15 chapters isn't really a big theme. Even lying in the game is just a binary choice system that basically just leads you down an invisible path to, hey man, what ending do you want, sort of thing. Like, the game is not about lying. There are no consequences from lying to people. Generally speaking, the good option is to lie to people, because to show that you are closer to a human than a puppet in game, it's like, well, you can lie to spare people's feelings. So the old lady that has, like, the cancerous growths on her face, she's like, oh, am I still pretty? And the lie is yes, right?
Whereas otherwise, is that an objective lie, Peter, or is that just you?
That's why I gave the air quotes.
You could say it's an objective truth that beauty comes from within, and it doesn't matter about the growths on her face.
And also, if all the tumors grew in the perfect way, maybe it made her more beautiful.
Yeah, mate, what if the tumors grew like two big boobs on her face?
Oh, it's extra boobs, but on the face!
Finally.
Now I don't have to look at three things at once.
The two dialogue options is like, No, your youth has left you. The second dialogue is just like, it's like boobs on your face. It's like, well, you know, I'll use that one to get the good ending.
You know what the most beautiful thing about growing boobs on your face is? You don't have to turn your face to kiss them anymore because your nose will go right between the little crack there.
That's the best part.
You don't got to tilt your head anymore.
A nose kiss. Cleavage.
Okay. You do get underboob sweat, like around your mouth, though.
Oh yeah, you're like dabbing like a plantation owner. You got like that tissue. She's like, ah, do declare my face boobies are getting rather. The
episode
humidity.
Of Peter, some honking bazingas on an old woman's face.
I don't know if Instagram's gonna let that one slide.
I don't see you writing it down. You can go ahead and write that one down, Peter.
All right, there you go.
All right. Yeah, and she's getting tortured by a nose through her back. You don't have to do that.
And she's a Viet Cong. Popping out of a punji pit.
Yeah, exactly. Big old face boobies on a VC soldier. All right, perfect. Carrying on. Yeah, the lying in game, really, like I said, is just like, which ending do you want, buddy? There is kind of a Dorian Gray style portrait within the game of Geppetto's son, Carlo, in his office, and the nose grows more the player lies. And I think if you lie to every character, you make every lie choice, you can actually break the nose off and use it as a special weapon. It's kind of like a scepter or a staff. It's the last one that I need to get the every special weapon achievement, because after beating the game twice, I have all the boss weapons and all the boss rings. They're called amulets, but they're the things that give you passives. The last one I need now is just to like basically just look up a guide on like all lies play through to get the whatever the fucking weapon is called. The
schnoz.
The staff. Exactly. Yeah. To get my nose. Finally, the woman with the blue hair who levels up your character named Sophia is a combination of the book character and also the blue fairy from the movie. There is a blue or turquoise haired ghost girl who Pinocchio talks to shortly before he is murdered, who like he's trying to get into a house to escape two thieves who are trying to steal gold coins from him.
Okay, sorry, is this the original story or is this Liza P? Or okay, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, I'm sorry if I was unclear there. Yeah. So the Sophia, the character in game, is a combination of the book character, who is the teal haired ghost girl, and the blue fairy from the Disney film, basically,
and a Twitter avatar. A blue-haired girl.
Sure, yeah. It's the genius of Elon Musk has decreed that it's called X now.
Right. And also the thick fairy from Rayman.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the buxom nymphs of the grove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's why Rayman don't got arms, no, or legs, because he couldn't wrap all the way around her, so he wished them away.
Gotta lift up those butt cheeks, dude.
Oh, are you sure, Ray? Are you sure, Rayman? Is that what you really wish for?
I can't remember what his voice.
You can wish on anything.
Like.
You can wish for being a real boy if you want.
Yeah, no,
I want big titties in my face.
Oh yeah, no limbs, hands, feet, still work. Go.
Yeah. So the cat and fox characters in the original story are just talking animals, which are apparently quite common. In the world of the original story, there's a talking bird that the cat eats. The talking cricket encountering a talking cricket in prison is just like encountering a different drunk guy in the drunk tank. Basically, Pinocchio kills him with a hammer again to assert dominance in the prison yard.
Hey, you got a real talking cricket infestation in this prison, huh? What about my rights? I want my phone call.
That cricket's been on the phone for 3 hours. His lawyer's not picking up. So he kills him with a hammer he made out of like a turkey bone. So the cat and fox, again, they're just regular animals, and they do like deceive him. In Lies of P, they are two human characters. They wear fox and cat masks, and they are a member of the Stalkers, which are basically like back alley criminals, liars, and thieves. It's kind of like an underground network.
So there is a cat girl, is what you're saying?
No, there's a cat boy.
Better. Honestly.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. They're brother and sister. Sister is the fox. And finally, we get the cat boy in our Souls game. Yeah.
Join discord.gg/LOREboys if you want to see a cat boy Pete sticker, because that exists in our Discord.
Exactly. Yeah.
The cat and the fox are in the original illustration that you shared as well.
Yeah.
And they do look just like a little cat and a fox.
They do manage to somehow disguise themselves as humans and try to kill Pinocchio. I believe they're responsible for the lynching in the end.
I mean, if they could speak, they're probably fey creatures, right?
Yeah.
Probably not actually a fox and a cat. Probably something's going on there to allow him to speak.
They're just there to teach Pinocchio a lesson about, like, talking to strangers, right?
Okay.
Or yeah. animals.
Yeah. If you talk to strangers, we'll get you lynched.
Well, I mean, before they had panel vans full of candy to abduct children, it was lynching. So it was the biggest risk to rowdy 19th century Italian boys. Mm-hmm. Right?
And dental surgery.
But the best part about lynching Pinocchio is you don't even have to bring your own rope.
No, the point of being a living puppet is not having strings.
Oh, yeah, but I thought he had strings.
He's like just dragging that cross-shaped thing behind him the whole fucking time?
Yeah. I thought it was just like just something that he did. That,
like a train on a wedding dress, just like getting caught on shit, like dragging garbage.
Really, you'd be better off burning him at the stake.
True.
It wouldn't work if you tried to hang him from his own strings. He's used to it. He'd be more animated than ever.
Yeah, well, you'd actually make him more powerful.
Yeah, he'd be doing little dances. He'd have a clean 5 to 8 minutes, you know? He's probably been on Leno.
Hell yeah.
It makes your career. Back in the 90s, getting on Leno made your career. Pinocchio.
Yep.
Hey, hear something. That talking puppet.
That's pretty good.
I haven't heard your Leno before. Yeah, I like that one. All right.
Oh my god. So the cat and fox are a brother and sister in the game, like I said, and they're basically on a mission to find a way to stop the cat from going blind. The cat is already blind in the story, or is at least pretending to be blind, because he like opens his eyes to eat a talking bird that is trying to give Pinocchio good advice or something. He's like, no, none of that. And obviously the fox and cat in the Disney film, like, is like, no, don't go to school, get into showbiz is the way they try to deceive Pinocchio here.
Okay.
In the original story, they're trying to convince Pinocchio to give them the gold coins he got from a theater performer. He doesn't get kidnapped in the story by, like, whatever, a caravan, like, marionette guy. He, like, ends up meeting a bunch of other marionettes who are also inexplicably alive and, like, talks to the circus freak who named Fire Eater, who's, you know, one of those guys. He does that trick. And ends up getting paid in 5 gold coins. In-game, there is a gold coin resource, which we will get into, that you can choose to give to the cat to cure his blindness, and this kind of cycles back into the kind of alchemical stuff we'll be getting to after the break. The broad theme of the game is, like, instead of blood magic in Bloodborne or the search for immortality in Sekiro or anything like that, like the bracketed theme of Lies of P is the evils of alchemy, basically. But
Peter, I thought alchemy was supposed to be able to turn anything or turn something into gold, not to turn gold into a not blind cat.
It's equivalent exchange, right?
There's like, always an even exchange, exactly.
Yeah. When you take one gold coin out of the world, you give one cat sight. You blind a cat, you get one more gold coin. And you're pissed off at your cat, so go
it's true. It. And if you reverse the equation, if you just have a bunch of blind cats, you're entitled to a bunch of gold.
Yeah, you reverse the equation. What is the square root of a bunch of blind cats? Gold coins.
Do you have a bunch of gold lying around in your house? You might be entitled to compensation in the form of blind cats.
Do you or a loved one have a blind cat and mesothelioma?
Yeah. What was that? Like, sell your gold, buyyourgold.com or something? But you can just do that.
Buy gold or something?
We buy gold. Yeah, okay.
We buy blind cats.
Yeah, exactly.
1-800-CARS for kids, but for blind cats.
Honestly, a care home for a bunch of blind cats sounds so cute. Like, Jamie worked at a dog shelter. You would be living it up taking care of blind cats, dude.
They had cats, too. They had cats, but I wasn't allowed in the cat room.
Got it. You need special training?
Or trying to poke their eyes out to make gold.
Get too mad at cats. I know you got gold behind them eyes.
I used to love to escape from the dog room downstairs, run all the way upstairs into the main room, and just take her teeth out at the bunny cage. And all the bunnies would be like, ah! But the bunnies were also troublemakers, because the boys were on one side of the hallway and the girls were on the other. And in the morning, we would come in and have to mop because the boys were trying to copulate across the hallway to the ladies.
Disgusting, right?
Yeah, they would just bust loads into the middle of the hallway. So
if you're at work listening to us right now, thinking like, man, my job sucks. How much rabbit semen did you have to mop up today?
Today? in the past, in the entirety of your career.
Yeah. Rabbits even sounds like so official. How about bunny cummies?
Bunny cummies.
Got the ooh ooh cat boys and their bunny cummies, right?
Yeah. Yeah. hop and skeet. Hop and skeet.
The cat and the fox in the original story basically just try to swindle Pinocchio. They try to give him great financial advice. They're like, hey dude, why don't you plant those gold coins and grow yourself a gold coin tree? 5 gold coins is fine, but 2500 is gonna be so good. And Pinocchio,
wait, does that work?
Like, it
does that work?
No. You just bury all your money right now.
No, pause the episode. I gotta go. Does that work? Are you fucking with me?
This is the mustached man with the balloon, with the hot air balloon or whatever. He's like, you just have to bury all your gold in my backyard, wait 6 months, then you're going to have a gold tree. But then by the time you know, that shiny mustache and all your gold is gone.
Listeners at home, bury your money. Just tell us where it is. We'll keep an eye on it.
I like that you...
That's the Lord's promise.
I like that you put this villain of yours in a hot air balloon specifically, because I'm just picturing him trying to make his final getaway, like, I'm stealing all the gold.
So slowly.
Just weighing down the balloon like he can't even take off. He's going to start throwing gold bars like over the out of the basket to try to get out of there. Like.
Yeah, cutting them off the sides. So this kind of gold tree scam is pretty interesting, because this is one of the few things that has moved directly into the game.
It happened to my grandma. A Nigerian prince called her about a gold tree.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, I would love to get... We used to get emails from them a lot where it's just like, oh, yeah, I need to go to Nigeria and bury $1,000.
Yeah. $1,000 worth of Amazon gift cards in my backyard. It'll turn into an Amazon warehouse and you can pluck whatever box you want from inside.
The Amazon warehouse box would be great. Just a bunch of cheap dust, like cheap like dustbusters and shit like that.
Yeah.
All the
Amazon workers dressed as Oompa Loompas.
Yeah, exactly. You go in and they skitter away with their piss bottles and their quotas.
They're still living ones, of course. You got to step over the corpses of a couple of them who didn't make quota, right?
So in-game, there is a tree in the hub area with willow-like branches on which grow gold coins. They're called the gold coin fruit. These can be harvested and spent at certain merchants. You can buy... there's no multiplayer in Lies of P.
This fruit sucks.
Oh, well, it's like you bend it.
It's like
you're
metal.
Just, I really,
yeah,
because it's softer metal.
And this is based on like a Reddit headline, I'm sure, but I'm pretty sure that if you bite a gold coin and it doesn't bend, then it's gold. It's if it does bend, then it's lead or zinc.
I feel like it's backwards, because gold itself, in its pure form, is a soft metal. That's why it's mixed. Like, my cross is 14 carat, and that makes it stronger.
Bite it. Real hard.
Close to the mic.
Try and fuck it up.
Yeah, right?
I don't know if that'll come through.
Uh-oh. Whoa, the picture you have of Virgin Mary with Christ is awakening. Ah!
It felt bad on my teeth. Biting my necklace was a bad idea.
Biting the cross, yeah.
Yeah, so I got Quora. Somebody on Quora saying, lead is a very soft metal and it's easy to bend. Biting a coin was a way to grip it tightly so your hand could bend it down. It wasn't even bite marks. It was if you could bend it.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't want to be biting lead, though.
Because, like, gold is soft, but lead is soft. I think that's the idea.
It's because it's so dense in my head. I was like, it must be harder to bend.
They're both dense, right?
Lead is famously dense. Yeah. And lead is softer. If you bite a coin... You better know what you're after.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they say, and that's why it's lead.
There once was a man from Nantucket with a dick so long he could suck it.
You're telling a lot of lies in that case. Torturing a lot of GIs, that fella.
I feel like that one's going to be an out of quote. So, I don't remember when you said it, but someone just put vaccines cause autism.
Yeah. Discord moderator David put that
in.
I'm glad we're spreading misinformation.
They have me saying, you come to my house and call me gay. I borrowed
my dad
tonight. Okay, Danny.
I read it as, you come to my house, you call me gay. Huh?
Hey, hey, something. You come to my house, you call me gay.
I bought, when I was buying my pink wine today, I thought of your dad. I was like, screw him.
I want two bottles. Fuck Danny. Yeah, so anyway, you can harvest the gold coins. There is no multiplayer in game, but there is an NPC summon you can bring into boss fights with you, which what are called star fragments, or reference to the wishing star from the film. And then you have a wishing cube that consumes resources that you buy from this merchant with the gold coins, and you can give your NPC summon various buffs that are better or worse against different bosses, basically. It's like you get to kind of control his buffs. You can't control him at all. He's shockingly stupid. Suicidal. Like, the NPC summon is good from just, like, pulling aggro a bit.
You're telling me he's stupid, but he's buff? That's a himbo, baby.
Hell yeah.
He is. If you buy the right inserts for your wishing cube with your gold coins. Right. Right, and also, I think this is holdover from, like, an old multiplayer mode they may have had, because there's a timer on it. The gold, the tree can have 8 gold coins that you can harvest per, I guess it's 4 hours, because it takes 30 minutes for a gold coin to ripen. But you can find and buy and then inject various alchemical boosters into the tree to make it grow coins faster. The tree itself...
4 hours real time or game time?
Fuck, I have no idea.
It's not like if you were just to plant it, you'd have to wait 4 hours for a gold coin to pop up. It's not like a gacha thing.
No. That's why I think it's a holdover, because it's weird to have a timer on something in a single player game.
Yeah, that's my...
Right. It's bizarre. In the end, like, the game takes, whatever, 30 hours to finish. You're going to be lousy with gold coins. There's plenty to go around, and you can boost them as well, so you can change the timer. And like I said, the alchemical boosters you can inject into it to create more gold is one of the big themes of the game. Alchemists and alchemy come up a lot, which we'll get into later on. The tree itself looks kind of like the body of a woman. I don't remember why. I think I forgot to put a screenshot there. It looks like a hunched over woman, like kind of sitting in a chair, and the willow branches that grow the gold coins look like her hair. There is some in-game lore speculation that the alchemists actually transform people into gold coin trees as like some kind of experiment or torture or whatever, but I wasn't able to confirm that. And in the game, reading the description of the coins, it's not explicitly stated there. Yeah.
That's just a theory, a game theory.
Exactly. Thanks for listening. So the player character, who we've all been calling Pinocchio, or P, as in Lies of P, is never actually referred to by name in-game a single time. Everyone just calls him the puppet of Geppetto, and in canon is basically a robotic clone of Geppetto's dead son, Carlo, named after the author of the original story, who I think... it's explained kind of late in the game. He's killed in like a dueling accident with Lampwick, basically.
Okay, Lampwick is a person, not a dueling weapon.
Lampwick being the like one of the rapscallions from the movie.
Oh, okay, cool.
Right, he's the kid on Pleasure Island who Pinocchio smokes cigars and drinks booze with. He's the first one to transform into a donkey.
That's like a good pyro name
in the film.
There's a Pleasure Island in Pinocchio?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, man?
Wow. No strings attached.
Yeah, exactly. Hall Pass Island, baby. although in the original story, his name is Candlewick, not Lampwick, so they changed it for the movie. But Lies of P, the puppet is never given a name. Like the closest thing, like his name is Carlo. He's a clone, basically.
You don't need to name him. We know he's Pinocchio.
Yeah. If you name it, you're going to get attached. It's just a fucking machine, dude.
Yeah, come exactly.
On. Yeah. the whole idea that Geppetto built Pinocchio in the image of his dead son is also not from the original work. Geppetto gets into a fist fight with a carpenter named Antonio when he goes to buy wood from him, and Antonio sells him a piece of lumber that is just alive already. It is inexplicably already alive. It torments Antonio. That's when its nose grows.
Okay, so he gets into a fight with this guy, and this guy's like, I'll fucking show him. I'll give him a piece of wood that's actually alive. Probably invaluable to the right buyer. I could probably sell this wood for so much fucking money. I'll fucking show this son of a bitch. Come to my house, call me gay, try and punch me. The fucking show him.
Made fun of him for drinking pink wine.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gave it. It was the white elephant that he gave to Geppetto. Yeah. It's just like, this thing is so irritating that this is the wood that I will sell to Geppetto. But yeah, like the piece of wood is already alive. It torments Antonio. Its nose grows. He sands it down, and then Geppetto carves it into a puppet. I don't think in the 1940s cartoon, it's like text or subtext that Geppetto is, you know, alone because his son is dead. But in the terrible Tom Hanks movie that I got to work on, it is very much text that Geppetto's son is dead. And like, I guess making a puppet that looks kind of like him is like some kind of macabre therapy puppet in the same way that like Norman Bates taxidermied his mom in Psycho. Sort of thing. So it's much grimmer. And in this case here, Geppetto, the man who invented the automatons or the puppets within the Liza P universe, when his son is killed, he makes one that looks exactly like Carlo, the player character. And we're going to get into a little bit more about that after the break.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back from the break, everybody. Thank you very much. So, we've talked about some of the ties to the original Collodi story for Liza P, for the original Pinocchio, and as well as the movie, which obviously has vastly more cultural significance to the rest of us here, who are, you know, the living. Otherwise, some other important in-universe systems are taken from other authors, and this is really interesting as well, the way they kind of amalgamated all this kind of familiar stuff into a new work. Puppets, which I said right before the break, is really just the game's name for automatons or robots. They actually have laws programmed into them, in a sense, and these are taken directly from Isaac Asimov's Laws of Robotics. Cool. I do have them written
here. Also public domain, so.
Yeah, exactly. I do have them written here, but I was wondering if you guys knew the Laws of Robotics, because I know, Jamie, you were into Asimov or may currently still be into Asimov.
I brought them up on one episode. Yeah. I think we've said them at least twice, I think, on the episodes.
Yeah. And for the VR game, Journey to Foundation, which just came out, I think, last month, which I'm close to some people who worked on it. So I'll give them a free shout out. It's more Vancouver-based devs.
Honor thy father. Respect thy neighbor.
Thou shalt not sleep with Lot's wife. That's one of them for sure.
Let your robot turn into salt.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
If you leave your snake out in the rain, it turns into a pig.
Yes, that's got to be true. That one sounds too real. You can't make that up.
Anyway, must not harm a human. That's number one, right? Number one with a bullet.
Yeah. You must not allow
must always come to a human. Is that the same one or is that a second one?
Your actions. Yeah, okay.
Must always obey a human unless that violates the first law.
Correct.
Is that the second one?
Yep.
You must protect yourself unless that violates the first or the second law. That's the third one?
And that is the third one. Correct. So that's all three.
Ah.
So in Lies of P, the Grand Covenant, which is their name for the laws. This is a covenant between like man and God, not a like a location or anything like that.
Jamie, that means the big covenant.
I don't know what covenant means.
Covenant means era.
Okay, great. Okay.
La grande époque is what they call it.
The so grand epoch. What is that, like electronic hacky?
I had one of those, the magnetic hockey rink. So fucking good. Hell yeah, that was one of my favorite things. Cool. We lost all the pucks, obviously. They're just like...
for Vader they also, yeah, they also had like one of those, like, you know how you can play foosball? They had foosball for hockey, but you could like move like a forward character like up a diagonal and stuff.
With the little
That's what I'm talking about. Is like every player was on like a different shaped track, and when you twisted the thing, they would rotate.
No magnet, though.
Yeah, the puck was magnetic. On mine, it was. That's how you. I mean, we lost them anyway. They're harder to lose when they're stuck to the rink, right? in Lies of P, the Grand Covenant's laws are the first law: all puppets must obey their creator's commands. Got it.
Nailed it.
Right. Second law: a puppet may not harm a human. Third law: a puppet must protect and serve humans in the city of Krot, which is the game's main location. And then, in real book report is due tomorrow fashion. Fourth law: a puppet cannot lie. If it just to you, it's about Pinocchio.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, look up a. Sorry.
It turns out when I took my oath, I lied.
Basically, like the first truth or lie you need to say is the security system at the Hotel Krot. So the name of the city is Krot, K-R-A-T. I looked up the etymology of this. It's just Dutch for crate or basket. That's the best I could fucking do.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a Korean interpretation of what a European city might sound
what
like.
What Holland looks like.
Yeah, the Krot brothers.
Yeah, exactly.
Zaboomafu. I have one closet in my apartment that is very much like the Zaboomafu closet.
We're going to that closet.
Yeah,
we're
just
going
ready to
on a trip.
Spill out and destroy everything.
Absolutely. My dog sitter came the other day to pick up the dog. She said she couldn't find the leash. I know she opened that closet because it wasn't properly closed because she couldn't get all that shit back in there. We didn't talk about it.
Oh my goodness.
I can just imagine my beautiful dog sitter opening the door and just all this like old laundry, dog cone, fucking a bag with a lamp in it.
All your leashes for the pup play that you do.
Of course. Yeah.
I'm the cat boy. Jamie's the pup play guy on the screen.
Absolutely.
By the end of the episode, we'll figure out what Ethan's kink is, too.
I'm the sweet baby boy who loves everybody and everybody loves me, and I'm sweet and virginal and innocent and pure.
He has the only one of us with a kid, so you can let
you
that
can guarantee.
Inform
there. I entered with a covenant in God to bone my wife and give us a holy miracle. So,
dear God, may I bone my wife?
That's the fifth.
No,
that's
God
the fifth law of puppets.
God bone my wife.
Can that be a title? God bone my wife.
God bone my wife. God bone my wife. Sure. God comes up later on in the episode.
Okay, good.
Where was I here? On the subject of God, one of the game's primary villains is a man named Simon Manus, and he is trying to use the power of Ergo, a crystal soul element, to become God himself. That is kind of what he's trying to do. He set up a massive Ergo harvesting device in the Arch Abbey on Alchemist's Isle. And I'm going to explain all these terms here shortly. Don't worry about
it. I mean, Manus is clearly a nod to Dark Souls, right? Like being the primordial man.
His name, I believe, is a reference to Manus, father of the Abyss, the final boss of the Dark Souls expansion, the father of humankind, and also Simon Magus, a sorcerer from the Bible who tried to pay his way into Jesus's apostles. We talk about this in our Dante episodes from a couple years ago. The act of paying for power is still called simony, named after Simon Magus. Generally, these days, we just call it lobbying, but that is kind of the root of that. But I'm glad that you came to the exact same conclusion as me, Ethan, where it was just like, yeah.
So
obviously,
I wanted to ask when you're talking about the laws, but I don't want to jump too far ahead if we're going to talk about it later, but like, are you killing humans in the game, like as the puppet?
Did
you lie on your driver's license exam? Yeah, so like you're not bound by the laws or whatever. So
Pinocchio does need glasses. His driver's license does have lies on it.
Yeah. Obviously. If you guys want to commit simony or lobbying
or graphically.
If you get into Simony or Garfunkel, if you get it in the $9 tier, you can vote for Ethan's next episode.
True, yeah. that really tickled Pete, apparently.
I mean, that man's name is goofy enough as is.
Yeah. Art Garfunkel. Hello, the... Art Garfunkel, here to celebrate you.
But the,
it's the sound of puppets.
One other fun fact about Manus, as a etymologically speaking, means hand, right? So hand of yes. God, if this guy's serving the Lord God, has entered into a covenant.
Wow. Yeah, the final boss, you can actually, or don't bring him up yet, actually.
What's a woman is?
It's a lady hand, like a more delicate one.
Okay, okay.
Cool. Yeah, it's a hand with a lace glove on.
Got yeah, it.
Yeah. it's much more coquettish and like, ooh.
Ooh, I like that.
There's Jamie's fetish. Pup play in silk gloves.
Yep. Some lady finger cookies.
Those yeah. are not that good. It's bad Kit Kat.
Yeah, Jamie's got a full lace gimp suit. It's not leather. It's all lace.
Like, it's just like, oh. It's the exact same shape, and it's all like doily.
Yeah. Man, so maybe the lace one doesn't sound so bad, but the actual gimp suit. I was on the bus today for the first time in a long time, and my arms get sweaty in my winter jacket on the way home. And I was thinking, this must be what hell feels like. You just got itchy elbows. There's people all around you. You're too hot, and you can't complain because nobody will listen. And yeah, this hell is.
Jamie's been in a grumpy mood all day because he had to wake up at 8:45.
No, I was on. I was already well on my way to work at 8:45. I had to work. I had to go to a training all day and then work after my training. More
and do this shit, which is yeah. frankly the worst part.
Jamie just doesn't have time to play with his new computer, and he's upset about it.
So Simon Manus's appearance, on the other hand, is fairly close to the design of the design of the alchemical dragon from a 15th century book called Three Dreams on the Transmutation of Metals. So you guys can pull up the image in the chat there. On the left, Simon Manus in his second phase, and then the weird little medieval guy on the right is obviously the alchemical dragon.
This is such a fantastic drawing of a medieval something. Okay.
Yeah.
We've got a fish body. We've got...
I thought it was a hen's body with like the kind of gray...
hen's body, yeah,
the
sure,
gray
sure, sure.
kind of circular feathers, right?
Which one are we looking at? Oh, the... Okay, I see. Never mind.
We've got a chimney sweep's face, if the chimney sweep was an old man, so just like soot black.
Yeah.
Long beard. Men's legs coming out of the bottom of the chicken's body with red rubber boots with wings on the back.
Yeah.
We've got a long snake tail wrapped around at the top of the chicken's body. So the man's face is on the chicken breast, if you will.
Yeah, it's in the middle, exactly.
This man's got a booby face. He was ahead of his time.
We brought it back.
At the top of the hen's body, you have I guess I should say peacock tail as wings. At the top of the hen's body, you have three heads as a hydra with the snake tail knotted around them, and then you have the Teletubby sun as one of the faces at the end of on these heads. And you have two other bird heads that are also sun.
It's a three-headed turkey dragon with human legs and an extra face on the chest. The frick,
it's a fucking mess.
Yeah, and I mean like. Everything that I just said, picture that in the style of a medieval illustration. And
yeah,
you'll have exactly.
Flat.
Yeah, you'll have exactly yeah. what I just.
No said. Perspective whatsoever before the invention of perspective or angles or those three lines you can kind of quickly do to make it look like you're looking at the corner of a room. Predates all of that shit because it's from the 1400s. Simon Manus, as you can see, has one gigantic arm and he has a very bulbous, weird body with little human man legs on the bottom. And then on the other side of his body, sadly, he is kind of under-designed compared to the alchemical dragon, where he kind of looks like he has tree branches or kind of like dead vines, you know, when they can kind of get turned into hardwood, going up. And then popping out of the top is an ethereal kind of turquoise ghost body. And one of the cool things is the fact that he is called the Awakened God. His boss, AoE, is basically the painting from the Sistine Chapel where he raises his like teal arm up and a gigantic teal hand of light comes down. But it will like instead of touching his finger like God touches Adam, it like pokes into the ground and does a big AoE. And you have to escape that in the arena. It's very cool. It's a very it's a good visual feast. Of a boss fight, like a lot of the bosses in Lies of P, he does have a tendency to jump too high for the camera to go up and break like character lock on, which is an annoying problem all Souls games have. I'm not going to put this one on Lies of P. Just weird that no one's been able to fix, like, maybe keep your boss on screen at all times, is my game design advice. Of course, I'm a cartoonist, therefore an idiot.
Well, he has to be able to jump because he's based on somebody with who wears rubber boots with wings on them.
Exactly. And we will get into the little Hermes boots in a bit here. Yeah,
there's
exactly.
Two.
Those are on brand, dude. Yeah, exactly. the Billy boots with the wings on them.
Yeah.
Probably the most important part, other than maybe the hen body.
Please tell us more.
So like I had mentioned earlier, Ergo, the game's currency for leveling up and also buying stuff, is confirmed in-game to be made up of dead human souls. They are harvested by the alchemists, whether, you know, passively or maybe by force. And within the lore, Ergo was captured and turned into crystals and then used to power puppets using their pee organ, which all puppets have, and is just the stupidest fucking name for anything. But
I mean, that just sounds like
it adds
genitals
to the charm. Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And especially because the game is so like kind of dark and violent, the fact that you're, you know, upgrading your pee organ between boss fights with quartz, which is a different form of crystallized Ergo, is just like, yeah. And it's presented so well with such a straight face. You're just like, you get used to it. You're like, yeah, pee organ, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
It's my pee organ is also important to me. And I want to level up this one too.
The game's silly enough to start. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dead humans are money. Ergo, all puppets got a pee organ.
Yeah, exactly. So ergo, being Latin or old Italian for therefore, is likely a reference to René Descartes' cogito ergo sum, or I think therefore I am.
This Jason and the therefore nots.
It's spelled different, but I love the initiative.
I like the hustle kid.
I feel like this is like 4 weeks that we have some play on Jason and the Argonauts in our loser titles.
Just yeah, I know. It's like at some point we're just gonna have to cover it, right? Yeah. So this to me at least suggests that the alchemists capturing the souls and using the power of the puppets had some inclination that they knew there was like still life and sentience within the puppets they'd been creating,
cool.
Like setting in the motions of the video game. This is not explained in game or not in any of the stuff that I read. Like I said, I don't have all the collectibles.
I like this connection. I was like racking my brain when you called it Ergo. I was like, why would they call it Ergo? And I was like, trying to think of it, but that makes a lot of sense. Like the reference to Descartes.
At time of writing, this is Lore Boys canon. I thought it was clever. Yeah,
Lore Boys canon.
I'm glad you like it.
It's official.
Yeah. Lore Boys, ergo canon. Right. So this obviously the fact that the human soul contained within each and every puppet power, like within the ergo that powers them, it really kind of sets in motion the events of the game. I have a little bit more Lore Boys canon for you here. There's also a secondary issue going on in the game called the petrification disease. It is a plague of sorts that, you know, makes your skin hard and gives you the cancerous tumors. The old lady you need to lie to and tell her she's still pretty has the petrification disease. It's like the kind of blue, kind of turquoise tumors growing off the side of her face.
I can't remember if I made this at the bar or on the episode, but petrification disease is just like Peterification. It's like, poof, big bushy eyebrows. Just slowly morphing into a Catboy Pete, basically.
No, you did not. You did not make that at the bar. I feel like I would remember that. But I personally think, and especially because the petrification disease does eventually form like dark teal crystals and shit like that, I think this is the alchemical kind of equivalent exchange thing. The fact that the alchemists are using ergo, which is fucking with life, the petrification disease is nature's like retribution, like just sending death to kind of balance out the scale there.
Nature's retribution is like an awesome title to have. I think that's
Nature's
cool.
Retribution.
Yeah. That's. I want that in like my WoW UNICEF Nature's Retribution or something.
Yeah. I mean, Awakened God is also a great subtitle to have, right?
Right. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Simon Manis, Awakened God.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Awakened God, Esquire.
Attorney at law.
Yeah. Awaken God. It means nothing, just like Esquire.
Yeah. Yeah. Ali McBeal, prior? Awaken God.
I'd watch that now. That's the Ali McBeal Souls like, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Public domain. That's ours. That's the game that we're going to make.
Dr. Quinn, Nature's Restitution.
It's medicine woman or whatever. So prior to the events of the game, the Urgo within the puppets was controlled remotely in a kind of hive mind by the King of Puppets, whose Urgo comes from a boy named Romeo, who was Carlo's best friend before they were both killed and turned into machines. They met at a charity house when they were young. I tried to look this up. It's not an orphanage. I think Carlo definitely was Geppetto's biological son, not like an orphan that he just really liked that he would make a robot out of. But anyway, they knew each other growing up. And
Geppetto was gay with Isaac Newton, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
They drank rosé together.
That's why they didn't see Mrs. Geppetto ever. Yeah.
Yeah. Mrs. Polandina.
Yeah.
Romeo has some dialogue explaining to the player that he and the puppets are fighting against the petrification disease and death itself, and that you should join him and not follow Geppetto's instructions to kill him. And then obviously the latter portion of the game kind of is just all alchemy all the time, beginning with a secret bunker below Krot called the Relic of Trismegistus, which is an ancient ruin that has been buried for centuries. So the Lore Boys canon that I had kind of mentioned earlier is based on the King of Puppet or Romeo's dialogue. It's not explained. Again, there isn't like a big Dark Souls community around this game yet, so we're the guys doing it at this point.
Sure,
I was trying to think of the word for like people who are at the forefront of a thing that are doing it well and whatever, but the word escapes.
Well, it's debatable, but we're doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's subjective. We're doing it. That's objective.
We're the Mavericks. Yeah. So Trismegistus, which I swear to God, I will explain.
I feel like the internet's rotted my brain because all I can think of was like someone saying, oh no, I got Trisma. What's Trisma? Trismegistus?
I was thinking like Triscuit biscuits. Some nice little cracker biscuits.
A bunch of fossilized wheat, like wheat crackers underneath.
Yeah.
The Relic of Trismegistus is a lot of old brick walls and very Greek looking pillars all over the place, as well as massive rock structures kind of growing out of the earth with kind of blue crystalline Urgo veins going through them in the same way that you would have like a silver vein or a gold vein or something like that. When playing the game before looking into this, I just assumed one of the characters in the children's story was named Trismegistus, and Disney was just like, well, the cat should probably just be called Figaro instead, sort of thing. I thought it was from the original story. Just because it's like, okay, like I was still under the impression that this was in some capacity about Pinocchio, right? The name actually comes from Hermes Trismegistus, the mythological being from Hellenistic Egypt, and he is a combination of the Greek god Hermes, given the boots, and the Egyptian god Trisoth. I think it's Thoth. I don't know if it's Thoth or Thoth. Yeah. There is a black and white medieval guy drawing.
That hoe over there. Hey.
Yeah, exactly. It's really like that. The girl with the boobs on her face.
Yeah. Long day. I really had to trace that Thoth one.
But I do have a picture of Hermes Trismegistus available for you guys as well if you want to look it up. Very basic black and white kind of pencil etching of this mythological figure.
I gave you a picture of Thoth. He's pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got a man's body and a bird head.
Yeah, I mean, Hermes Trismegistus is just kind of a regular looking guy. He's a combination of both of them.
Yeah.
But this explains the winged billy boots on the alchemical dragon. Is there Hermes' boots? He is known as the creator of Hermetica, a series of ancient texts that are somewhere between like 5,000 and 4,000 years old. Like when they appeared is really unclear. They are real. The author is speculated to be Hermes Trismegistus. Obviously it was not written by a god.
I mean, Hermeticism is a religion, right? And that's like
It is
the hippie alchemy religion.
It's part of Gnosticism as well as other spiritual schools here. A lot of the alchemical stuff is very international too. We're going to talk about stuff from like the Indian subcontinent and the Arabic world coming into this, because the people who made Lysa P did pull different interpretations of alchemy from different parts of the world, which is really cool. Trismegistus himself is from Hellenistic Egypt, so this is kind of the Cleopatra era, where like Greece ruled Egypt through the Ptolemaic dynasty that she was a part of, and shit like that, right?
Hermetic, according to the Oxford Dictionary, means relating to an ancient... Well, this is the second definition. Hermetic seal is like complete new. The second definition is relating to an ancient occult tradition encompassing alchemy, astrology, and theosophy, which I don't
that know. Is theosophy. Not even the whole thing. That is all technically... that's all technical hermeticism, because there is also a religio-philosophical hermeticism that we're going to get into a little bit. It's actually... there's so many texts talking about different concepts that it was divided into two... There's two shelves at the library for all of this, but...
Nice.
This is what really got me into it. It's just like, oh, weird adaptation of Pinocchio. And it's like, you want to read about ancient texts, Pete, on Wikipedia? Yeah, I'm like, fuck yeah. This is so bad, dude.
All I know is I played a puzzle game called... I'll look it up, because it's The Black Watchman, which involved some, like, it would give you hints, and you had to, like, go, like, research stuff online. And the answer to the first puzzle, I think, or the second puzzle, was the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. You had to go find something on their wiki page.
There you go.
To, like, beat the puzzle.
I remember you telling me about that. I remember the name Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. Like, you've talked about it on the show or on bonus, or probably, maybe even, God forbid, one of the times we actually had to see each other physically. But
I remember doing a puzzle game online in Flash, or just in the browser. And, like, the first puzzle, like, the Earl would be hidden in a picture. So then you would type it / whatever, and then you're on level 2. And then you had to highlight the whole page, and at the very bottom, only when you highlight it, you could find the password to the next thing. And they started giving you complex things. I remember Moonwalker, a game by Michael Jackson in it, was like an answer for one of them. Me and my stepbrother did it, and it was a really cool community who wouldn't spoil things. So you could look for the answers, but they wouldn't tell you on most forums and stuff. I have to find this website and put it on the Discord for all the people to play today.
That's cool. So another concept from alchemy and from hermeticism is related to my favorite weapon in the game. This is the Ouroboros Eye, named after Ouroboros. It is like a hieroglyph of a snake eating its own tail.
Yeah.
The weapon in-game functions like a sword, but has saw-like blades on a rotating disc and has a snake engraved into it. I took the screenshot in-game today. I posted it for you guys if you wish. It's a saw blade boss weapon. You get it from the boss called Lexazia the Complete. When you Google her, a lot of the Reddit links are just like, why is she so hard? Why is she so thick? She sucks. She's too hard. Like all this other stuff.
I tried why is she so hard? Why am I?
Why am I so hard?
Can I remove my hands to properly, or my arms and legs to properly hug her?
Yeah. Why can't I play this boss with one hand?
I tried to look up the etymology of Luxasia, and Google kept being like, did you mean Lux Asia? A series of fancy Asian suits? I'm like, I'm interested, but no, I really just wanted to know what this means. I don't know what her name means, sadly. Despite being used in alchemy, which, again, kind of pulls from a lot of stuff, but the fact it's Hellenistic Egypt specifically, the earliest depiction of the Ouroboros appears actually within King Tut's tomb, and then was adopted as an alchemical symbol in the Hermetic text after that. So the snake eating its own tail, I found that out yesterday.
Wow.
Like, that symbol is predates alchemy itself and was repurposed. But the same can be said for, like, the symbols of the planets, like the symbol of Mercury, or what we have as, like, the male and female symbols now, like the circles with the arrows and the little cross on the bottom there, are all alchemical symbols symbolizing the planets and the moon and whatnot, as well as, like, human sexes.
This snake one being early, like, kind of makes sense, even, like, easier than the stars do, because you don't need a telescope to see a snake eat its own tail. Like, it just happens in nature sometimes, right? So someone would love, and they'd be like, what the fuck?
I would love for, like, Galileo being under house arrest for pointing telescopes at snakes eating themselves.
It's that movie Insomnia. Galileo sitting with, like, a broken leg, like, with his telescope looking into his neighbor's house watching two snakes having sex. Like,
Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, they're wrapped around the pharmacy symbol or whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a different one, yeah. But yeah, it's like Jimmy Stewart too. So I was like, "Yeah, you need to tell the Pope the neighbor's snakes are eating each other. They're eating themselves." Well, no, that's Rear Window.
What did you say? I don't know. Insomnia. I know the remake with Shia LaBeouf. I don't know if that was the original title. Or not.
Is that the Stephen King? I read the Stephen King book, Insomnia. I wonder if it's based off that.
I don't know.
It might not be Insomnia.
It's a Hitchcock film, I think. I don't know. Mm. Anyway, like we mentioned earlier, because of course, I mean, Ethan, you brought it up just like by kind of talking about things you already knew. The texts are broken into two categories, religio-philosophical and technical. The technical, I think, are supposed to be the ones that are about the real physical world, or at least it was as it was understood, you know, 3,000 years ago. So it's got like medicine, it's got pharmacology, chemistry, but it does kind of get off into the weeds a little bit with astrology, alchemy, and then just straight up magic at one point.
I mean, you say it gets off into the weeds, like chemistry back in the day was as bullshit as any of the other things are.
Alchemy is proto-chemistry, right? Like it's the same ish. But like it's the same track. Their
understanding of it was just as bullshit wonky as anything else that we might believe.
You know, we got like, Gemini cricket. You can boil down some tin and some newt blood, make some gold.
There's probably something to astrology in the sense that like celestial bodies move around the earth in cyclical patterns, and your hormones also kind of fluctuate in cyclical patterns that sometimes happen to line up with these events. Yeah. So like there's some truth to it too, you know, like it's
and then there's like weird things like with school years and stuff, like kids who are born in October or November, like who just missed the cutoff date, who tend to be older, tend to be better at sports in their whatever, because like people bigger kids.
Kids born in January exactly tend to be better at
cutoff is, I guess. Yeah.
A public school is still using alchemy to determine what kids go into kindergarten, right? Like,
what time were you born? Yeah, what month? Yeah. What did your mother eat?
Did you leave your snake out in the rain, turn it into a pig?
Yep. All right. Now you'll also have to go 500 pounds of gold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The religio-philosophical category covers human beings and their relationships with God and the cosmos. This is, you know, much more magical. Hermetic texts.
They have God and anime on their side.
They do. This is the relationship between God, human beings, anime, and less importantly, God. Obviously.
Right. Right.
Yeah. The first crusades were to like retake the body pillows back from the Holy Land.
Dance of old, baby.
The Islamic kings had all the good pillowcases.
Yeah.
The king of France wasn't having any of that. Both categories of the Hermetic texts are used to great thematic and gameplay effects in Lies of P, injecting alchemical substances into a tree to grow more gold, or controlling life and death to become like the actual like physical manifestation of God, or another one. The game also pulls from multiple alchemical philosophies. This is what I had mentioned earlier, the international stuff. The idea that the gold coins could cure blindness in the cat, or the petrification disease, which, you know, I personally think is a manifestation of death in the real world, comes directly from the Indian version of alchemy called, oh my god, Rasayana, which contains the belief that gold can cure illness and prolong your life. And I thought this was so funny because they were like 4,000 years off the mark. If they had just waited, they could be selling colloidal gold to weirdos on like with like a 1-800 number on late night commercials on television, right?
I mean the problem is they probably give it away for free. It's the white people that are selling it, right?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
It's in America, you do need gold to go to the hospital or whatever. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
This gold is very valuable to you. It will cure you. Just give it to the doctor and he'll
gold
know what to do.
Gold can kind of prolong your life in that case. I guess they're not wrong. Maybe alchemy's not a bunch of fucking mumbo jumbo.
Nope. Just give it to the doctor and he'll inject mercury into your bloodstream so the government can track you.
Alchemy equal economy? I'm not sure. We'll have to figure it out.
The word we use, alchemy, is actually just like an anglicized version of the Arabic word as well. It's like from the Persian Empire.
Could you pronounce the Persian one?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's A-L hyphen, but it's like alchemy, basically. It's the same thing. Yeah.
Maktub.
The goal, this is pretty funny here, actually, the goal, because we could bring up, like, TV salesman quackery and, like, anti-vax excuses and shit like that. The goals of Indian...
Snake who's eating his own tail oil.
That's pretty good. So the goals of Indian alchemy are really scattershot cure-alls, and, like I said, do remind me of kind of modern-day, like, televangelist quacks. Prolong your life, stay young and virile, increase your sexual stamina, hell yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. Improve your memory and learning abilities. So again, you've got like Alex Jones's mushroom pills and Gwyneth Paltrow's tea there.
Yeah.
But then also like get magical powers and manipulate the world around you. And like, again, none of us are medical professionals. I just want to tell people there are way easier and less horrible ways to kill yourself than drinking liquid metal. Just like don't do it.
I mean, gold is probably fine, right? To eat, you probably just pass it. It's like, a non-reactive metal. That's why it's like so valuable, right? Is because it doesn't react with anything. That's why like it doesn't turn your skin green, and you can wear a gold ring all the time.
Yeah, and it doesn't
day.
Get hot, right? Yeah, I've never had green marks on my neck. I haven't taken this thing off in years. Right?
That's okay. That's why the gold colloidal silver guy turned blue is too cheap to get the gold.
Yeah,
yeah,
pretty
exactly.
Much, pretty much.
No, but I needed more. Like whatever 4th millennium BC Indian alchemy and less like dumb plastic bottle of bullshit.
I think that, but the reason that colloidal silver stuff works is because it does react with things, right?
It doesn't work.
It does to a certain degree. Because it kills like bacteria and stuff, but it also just like kills your human cells as well. It's like an antibacterial, like an what do you call it? Those things you take
antibacterial,
antiseptic,
antibiotic or whatever. Yeah. It's like an antibiotic, but it's destroying everything along the way, and you shouldn't drink metal. But it'll get rid of your UTI or whatever. You know?
We're not making any kind of claims about the effectiveness of anything that you're going to take.
I'm
just
telling you, dude.
Disclaimer.
If you're sick, you should drink colloidal silver.
Oh, God. Can you say that on here? Sniper, take him out.
It's going to hurt you, but it's going to hurt the disease more.
Look it up. Talk to your doctor.
Yeah, talk to your doctor about colloidal silver. God willing. They say you're insane and don't drink it.
I was at a university today, guys. I was around some doctors. Okay.
I know. I was going to say, Jamie's spending too much time talking to those fucking
school.
Quacks at the dog park. So the enemies on Alchemist Island do kind of use alchemy to improve their physical well-being. The enemies on Alchemist Isle have various implants and like breathing apparatuses that appear to allow them to consume ergo directly. They have like the kind of like a brass nose cap that looks like it kind of looks like a replacement prosthetic from somebody who had been hurt in like a world war or something like that. So like before they had fake skin or plastic, you would get like a silver mask or something like that.
Honestly, so guys, that's kind of cool. It's like, why would prosthetics reminds me of like, you know, Always Sunny when they get like the flesh colored eye patch or whatever. You don't go for the flesh cover. Yeah. Mm. You go for the black eye patch and you're like, you rock it. I'm a pirate now. Yeah. Mm.
There's that one, like the only young Republican in Congress is that guy from Texas who wears an eye patch all the time. He looks better than some of those people who are fucking dying in front of our eyes, right?
Like, very cool. Honestly, when Trudeau grew his beard for COVID. If he would have went for the eye patch, he would have been full evil leader.
We do need punished Trudeau to lead the country, I think, personally. And you guys can open the last picture here. You can see one of the bosses. He is a very roided up alchemist named Champion Victor. He used to be a boxer. He's very much like...
Cool.
Did you ever see the Sean Connery League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, like Mr. Hyde.
Mr. Hyde
is basically the Hulk. Very much those vibes. But as you can see, he's got a lot of ports and tubes and like a big
steampunk
tank on his back, right?
Yeah, a steampunk Mr. Hyde.
Yeah.
They can consume ergo directly. The guys who can breathe fire are very unstable. So when you kill them, they do explode. Cool. And if you can get behind an alchemist enemy and break the tank on their back, it will eject out the ergo and give you an instant stun, so you can then get a counterattack as well.
Classic video games.
Classic video games. You have to kite the alchemist and smash their tube full of stuff there. Mm-hmm. But that is Lies of P. That is Pinocchio. That is a little bit of alchemy. I have been your host, Peter O'Donoghue. You can find me at Lorebyte's Podcast on Instagram. And also, if you follow the link to the Discord, I am sort of there, here and there, every once in a while. Fellas, what's up?
Yeah. Jimbo, you want to go?
Check out the Discord, discord.gg/loreboys, LOREBOYS. That's where most of the stuff's going on. You can chat with folks, talk about games we're playing. If you are on the next level and you're paying us a little bit thing, there's a bunch of extra chats, too. Like tonight they're waiting for their loser titles, and David is taking pictures of us in our room recording here and teasing them, and we'll get it there soon. I also took a picture of Peter and his cat, and I'm gonna put it there, so
cool. She was a little rowdy jumping up behind me.
It's a better picture than the last.
Oh wow, what a perfect
there goes.
If you want to support the show, the best way to do so is maybe tell your friends, try and convince somebody you know to give us a listen, and maybe they'll become a follower. If that seems like too much social interaction for you, you can always leave a review for us on your podcast app of choice or Apple Podcasts. It really does help the show continue to grow.
Or in Clickbait Metal, see if I fucking care. Whatever.
And if you want to support the show, patreon.com/theloreboys, where you can get all the images that we talked about on this episode. You get to vote on some upcoming lore topics. You can get to play in the loser titles game, all sorts of fun stuff. And for anyone who doesn't trust Patreon, we of course have Loreboys Prime. We offer the craziest, most fun prizes and rewards for Loreboys Prime. This week, I'll give you guys a little taste of what we're going to give you here. This is a quote from the NIH, the U.S. National Institutes of Health, which is, colloidal silver has no known functions or benefits in the body, would take my mouth, and is not an essential mineral. Colloidal silver and other complementary products or practices that have not been proven safe and effective should never be used as a reason to postpone seeing a healthcare provider about a medical problem. Zany things like that you just get with Loreboys Prime, you know?
And like we always say, you bury your gold in the backyard and the silver in your mouth, boys.
The silver up your butt. your mouth. Yeah. Oh, no, it's bronze up the ass. Is that it? I always get them.
Depends on which
the three metals, right?
I got blue cheeks. I put too much silver up my butt.
Yeah. 10-year anniversary. I bronzed my asshole.
Just like a cast of like bronzed baby shoes in a frame next to like my bronzed asshole.
Hey, would it be like a medallion, like a little sun?
Witcher school,
knowing Ethan's butthole, there's gonna be room in the middle to tie the string through.
Just a copper butthole string around my neck starts to vibrate. Monsters nearby.
Winds howling.
I think that would cost you a little boys.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.